Hey, let's start the show.
It's May 8th, 2014. Welcome to This Is Only a Test, the official podcast of Tested.com. Right.
Look at that fucking squirrel on my bird feeder.
And then suddenly, the Enterprise D's bridge.
I'm Will Smith.
Is the beat coming back?
That's it. That's the whole thing.
Wow.
That blew you away, right?
I thought, am I dreaming? This is so weird.
Backwards world. I'm back. Norma Chan, I think you did a lovely job holding down the fort while I was gone. Thank you for doing that.
We told so many secrets.
I hope you did.
So many secrets.
I put on my pants backwards. I put on the right leg first, then the left leg. Jeremy Williams is here.
Hi.
Jeremy, when you put on your pants, do you always put on the same leg first?
Yes, left leg first.
Why wouldn't you? Like, you would purposely not do that just to mix it up?
No, I just don't think about it. It's not something I ever would consider.
Exactly. So you put on the same leg.
I'm not a creature of habit.
Well,
I walk my own path.
Okay.
I think all people are creatures of habit.
So you're left leg first too, Norm?
Left leg first. That's my leg.
Why left leg first? Is it because you're standing on your right leg and that's the good balance leg?
Well, NPR had a story about how left sides of the bodies are more dominant sometimes.
I think I might be a right leg first guy.
You know, we can find out right now.
I was just doing it in my mind.
Okay.
You're just putting on pants.
Do you do shoes in the same direction? Like say one leg and then the other?
No. No, actually I have these.
Left shoe first?
Merrells. So whatever's there, I don't even bend down. I just slip them on.
What is a Merrell?
A Merrell is a lazy man's shoe. I have Merrells.
It's like a loafer?
It's a slip-on.
They're like slippers that you can wear anywhere.
My father is super into them because it means he doesn't have to tie his shoes anymore.
What? Laces are amazing.
No.
Laces are great.
Laces are a point of failure.
Laces were a stopgap.
No, laces, how do you...
To the Merrell.
Laces get your shoes on tight.
But the Merrell has elastic on the top, so they don't need to be on tight. And look at the tread on the Merrell. Jeremy has traction in ways that you and I have never experienced with our sneakers.
And they're watertight.
Are they really?
Oh, they are.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. No, they're special space-age watertight.
What about we meet halfway?
I've worn mine in ankle-deep snow with great success.
Yeah.
Is this your self-lacing? Like, you can't get self-lacing shoes, so you fuck the laces?
Hey, that's next year.
Really? They're going to make that?
No, it's 2015.
Oh.
That's when
30 years from 85.
I get that.
Yeah. Why don't we meet halfway and have the hiking shoes where it can tug on the one string?
That's running shoes too.
And then slide the lock down.
Yeah. Those things don't work very well in my experience for hiking shoes. For running shoes, they're fine. But you can't get them tight enough for hiking boots. You need good ankle support and a good pair of hiking boots.
I think you need good ankle support on all your shoes.
There's a theory that says good ankle support actually causes weak ankles and increases ankle injury.
I bet a hippie wrote that theory.
I believe it.
Speaking of hippie theories that have been debunked, the Vibram Five Finger folks settled, I believe, a massive class action lawsuit. These are the toe shoe people, if you don't know, Jeremy.
That's a step too far.
Is that you?
I don't know. It went a little.
Did that work?
I was going to test it over the course of the next few minutes.
Okay.
Go on.
They did a massive, someone sued them because of a, what's it called? Basically, if you wore the Vibrams and ran flat footed and stomped, you would cause damage to your bone marrow.
Whoa.
Yeah. So everybody who ever bought a pair of Vibrams after 2011 gets $90 back.
If you bought Vibrams and you ran with them?
No, just if you bought Vibrams.
No, I'm saying the bone marrow loss.
Someone had bone marrow loss. Somebody sued because there was bone marrow loss. And in the course of the trial, it turns out that a lot of the claims that were made in a book by, I can't remember the dude's name, but there was a guy who wrote a book that popularized the idea of barefoot running based on, I assume, watching a bunch of Kenyan dudes run.
Okay.
Most of his data, it turns out, it was anecdotal and not actual data. It came out in the court case. So, good news, if you have Vibrams, you get $90 back.
Still a fashion statement.
It is
more fashion.
It's
statement
an anti-fashion statement, is what I would say. You know what? I will say I used them to run for a little bit, and then I stopped running, and then I started running again. I didn't use them when I started running again, but they are awesome river shoes. Like if you're in a canoe or kayak or something like that, they're sealed enough that you don't get, like if you wear a pair of Tevas or any kind of open soled sandal, you're going to get rocks in between the sole of your foot and the footbed of the shoe. You don't get that with these. Mm. So that's the point of victory for Vibram. That's where they ended up. Mm. Yeah. I got to imagine this is bad news for Vibram. $90 per person per shoe sold. When if these shoes cost $90 yeah. per shoe, yeah. probably they're not in great shape now.
Yeah, that's got to hurt.
Yeah.
Neither are the people wearing them. Necessarily.
That's got to hurt.
Necessarily.
What happened this week? Anything happen? Anything going on? What are you guys up to? Norm and I had two meetings that we can't talk about today. So that's why the podcast is super late. Mm. Two secret meetings.
Product briefings. Cool products.
I guess I should tell people that the 2 weeks prior to this, I had a seriously ill family member. And I went to spend time with her while she was in the hospital. And the good news is everything's better. Everything's after 2 weeks in the hospital. You know, people don't spend 2 weeks in the hospital anymore, it turns out. Like when
it's expensive,
but it's not even that. It's that most stuff, like most serious, if you have open heart surgery, you're back out on the street 7 days later, right?
Wow. Is that right?
I don't know if that's actually, I think it seems like it's pretty close to it.
I had a friend who recently had brain surgery.
Yeah.
They took a tumor out of his head. Fortunately, he's doing all right, but it was like a week and a half and he was out.
How old is he?
My age.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's young to have a brain tumor.
Oh, yeah. Scary stuff.
But so my previous experiences with hospital time were when my daughter was born, which was, you know, three nights. Cause she was, you know, we went to the hospital at like 11 o'clock one night
and they
spent that night. And then you spend another night and another night. And at the end of that other night, they're like, get the fuck out.
Yeah, you got to go.
Unless you had a C-section, in which case I think you get one or two more nights.
One night.
Yeah.
Other people having babies.
It's not even that. It's that the longer you spend in the hospital, the more likely you are to get infections and all that stuff.
Oy.
And infections are bad. So, and then I had the appendectomy and I was in the hospital for, I think, 4 nights for that. But 2 weeks is a whole different thing. And then she ended up going back for a couple more days because of a minor complication. And by a couple more days, I mean another week. Yeah, don't do stuff that ends up in the hospital. But if you do, the lesson of all this was we were at Johns Hopkins in Baltimore.
Fine hospital.
It is the fine hospital. You know, everywhere you go, it's like number one hospital in the United States. And then also there's a little thing on that poster that says also the number one hospital in Maryland, which I guess I would have said was implied probably. Mm-hmm. But down the hall from her room, they had this. Like outside the cafeteria, they have this enormous 45-foot-long banner that's like starts on the far right with the founding of the hospital and the university there, and then goes all the way through current day. And it shows all the people that won like Nobel Prizes and Laskers and, you know, U.S. science medals and all this stuff. And also all the like medical innovations that happened, like the invention of antiseptic procedures before surgery and, you know, painkillers and first admission of women to the College of Medicine and stuff like that. It's super interesting.
That is cool. Puts where we are in perspective.
Yes. It makes
you. Were they doing anything cool now?
While I was there, they actually were preparing a place to put another block of that wall on. Because the one that they have up now ends with 2014 and they're like, well, or 2012 or something. It's got to add some more space.
More achievements. Medical achievements unlocked.
It's amazing going to that hospital versus going to like the place I had my appendectomy at. It's like just one of 12 or 15 or 20 or whatever hospitals in San Francisco. And while I got a wonderful care there at Hopkins, the least educated person we talked to was probably a nurse, you know, and they were RNs or nurse practitioners. The person who came to draw blood for blood work twice a day was a nurse, not just a phlebotomist that went to, you know, Hollywood upstairs phlebotomy college.
Wow.
The people who were, it was all fellows and residents at least on the doctor front. We didn't see any interns or it's amazing. It was an amazing facility and they do, seeing what they can do with modern medicine is unbelievable. Just absolutely astounding. So yeah. So it was a rough 2 weeks, but everything's good now.
Glad things are better.
Yeah. So that's what I did. I heard you crashed your drone, Jeremy.
Oh my goodness.
Did we talk about this already?
You can see I'm still wearing black.
I'm sorry.
Oh,
it was rough.
I want to hear the whole story.
Yeah, I want to hear what happened. What did you do?
Well, this was Friday, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the day after we shot.
Oh yeah. So last week you came over to podcast after we had a lovely time.
But did you guys go on a drone date?
Full time. We would drone date. Yeah,
that's great.
Drone date. it was a mandate.
Change the music to that segment. It could make that you can make Drone Date the new title.
I was scared during that segment.
What did you do?
You haven't seen it?
No, I'm gonna go ahead and tell you. I spent 13 or 14 hours a day in the hospital, and after I came home from that, I just went to sleep.
It's it was a good segment. I mean, it seemed like a lot of people enjoyed it.
This is the new Friday drone. Yeah. Bit. Okay.
Fun
and
flights.
It's and I did not expect such a warm reception because all it is me and Norm mic'd flying our drones for 5 minutes.
That's good.
Turned out
and
okay.
And you're conversing.
Turned out okay.
We
yeah.
had a good conversation. You were doing daring things. We tried because we both had the quadcopters and so we could film each other.
Yep.
And you know, because we were both flying independently,
you know, if you don't start that sentence with, we both had the quadcopters, it's a filthy, filthy sentence.
Yeah.
We could shoot each other.
Yeah. You,
and as I was flying one direction, you were like chasing boats, you were doing mm-hmm. other things.
What, you were down by Pac Bell?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, AT&T Park, whatever.
And, you were doing some really, even when we turned the cameras off, cause you brought two batteries. So when my battery ran down at the end of the video, you went for a second flight.
I see why you're emphasizing that I was being daring. Yes. Because the next day it didn't work out so well.
Right.
And there's a lesson here, Jeremy.
See, I thought he was complimenting me.
Oh.
You were being daring, which was both impressive and it's and also a little scary.
Mm. Have you ever heard the song about the daring young man and the flying trapeze?
No.
Do you know how it ends?
No.
With a splat.
So in the video, you went over several boats. There was one very specific scene.
Well, in the dock.
On the dock. The boats were docked. No one was on the boats.
I flew over the masts. I flew directly over one of the docks so that the boats were on either side of the shot. And I was flying over these boat masts. And I could see where the quadcopter was from where we were, but it was pretty far away.
Right. And so altitude-wise, you could see that it was over the mast.
Generally, yeah. But there was one mast that I probably just couldn't see with my naked eye that I'd nearly hit.
I think that was also because it was a wide-angle camera, and so it looked much closer than it actually was.
You think? I find things look further away.
It looked real close.
I find that the wide angle, flying with the wide angle, things are really close, look really far away until they're dangerously close.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you have the sensation that it is close on the wide angle, you're in imminent danger of fucking
up. So objects in wide angle are closer
than
they appear.
Yeah.
And I flew over there right after hitting one of these vortexes. Where there's no lift, you can't get any lift because the copter has blown the air away, and so I probably should have brought it in. In any case, everything went well that day.
It did. I want to talk about what
flying over water is scary.
Yeah, everyone seemed to think that, but you know, it's scary because you might lose it. But there's no reason to be scared there. Like you can't crash into somebody over water, at least.
Correct. You were doing some light stunts. You flew it between two pillars, like an archway.
Yeah.
We were by the pier and you actually,
do you still have the bumpers on yours?
I did that day. Yes.
Okay.
You took it down low, almost to the water, maybe like 4 feet above water, 4 or 5 feet above water.
After
the video, and you wanted to go peer inside the pier.
I want to look under the pier.
Under the pier.
Yeah. So I was flying around. I had a good time.
Pretty daring stuff.
You know, you can switch between looking at the iPhone as if you're playing a video game.
Yeah.
To actually looking at it as if you're flying an RC plane. And it's a matter of, you know, which one do you want to focus on? But the next day, like after we landed that day, I had a weird landing and one of my motors started making a sound. So I called in to support and they said, yeah, your motor might be failing. Send it in and, you know, or buy a new motor. And they're only like $30. So I was like, well, maybe I should do that. And so I took it out to really get a feel for that, to see if I wanted to replace the motor.
What's the process like removing it? Is it just like taking a couple screws out and it pops out?
It's four screws and a couple solder points.
Okay, so you do have to do a little bit of light soldering.
Light soldering.
Solder points though, right? Just like wires?
I haven't seen it, but I imagine it's not that bad. They're on the back of the motor. So, I mean, they got to be...
It's probably like, I would assume like 22, 24 gauge connections or something.
Right.
That kind of motor, yeah.
So anyway, I took it out, and I'm just an idiot. I mean, I was just flying around saying...
You didn't take the motor out. You took the helicopter out. No,
I thought you meant you took the motor out.
No, no, I took the Phantom out for a flight, and I was just flying around trying to get a feel for it. It was pretty windy.
That's what we call you, Jeremy, living on the edge Williams.
Took off the... Because I also took off the protectors.
Because we thought that was
propellers.
Causing...
Maybe that's causing some of this weird vortex thing that I'm getting. And I was flying around, and then I got into that thing where you can steer left or right, yaw left or right, while moving forward at full speed, and you kind of get this nice skidding action, and you're flying around. I was enjoying that.
I like that.
I flew like right over my head doing that move, and I forgot, because I was so into like controlling it.
Yeah.
I forgot about my awareness of the rest of the world. Right behind me, there was this big rock face. And I thought, like, it all happened, like, it went slow-mo, like, in my mind. It, like, went over, it's like, oh, yeah, rock. And I turned around, and I didn't know what to do, and then I saw it hit the rock, and then I shut down. I did the move where you do corners on the controller, and that will shut down the engine, even in mid-flight.
Yeah.
I didn't, and I'm thinking maybe I shouldn't have done that. Maybe if I didn't do that, I'd still... You know, have a camera attached to my Phantom.
So what? So your gimbal broke loose?
Which wouldn't be so bad, because I think that they're magnetically held together. The pivot points, I think that those joints they're not
like magnets
held
with...
together with a screw. I think it's just magnets.
Okay. Huh.
Now I'd like to take yours apart to verify that, but I believe that's the case because I put it back together. But what's broken is a ribbon cable. That transfers power and signal.
And it's a real delicate, tiny motors. Ribbon cable.
Oh, yeah. It's totally custom. Yeah.
So was most of the damage it hitting the rock face or falling to the ground because you turned off the power?
Yeah, that's a good question. I imagine it was the rock. But
One of the questions I have about quads, and I probably could find this if I thought about looking it up, but if one of the motors fails, the thing just tumbles, right?
I would imagine.
I got to imagine that it needs all four.
It doesn't feed back the fact that motor has failed. It thinks that it's spinning. It's
what could it
the
do?
Power.
I mean,
and so,
well, so it's going to, if it thinks that side sags, it's going to try to send more power to that side and turn down the power on the other side, probably, right?
And so it's going
to
keep on going
in
that one direction and just crash in that direction.
I don't think it could support itself on three anyway.
No,
though.
It cannot.
We could find out. We could just take one of the propellers off.
That's such a bad idea.
See if we can take off.
Speaking of bad ideas.
Yeah, I love bad ideas.
Jeremy, did you read our RC enthusiast column this week about drone
I got
safety?
A lot of feedback on that already today.
I have not. Is it good?
You should read it. You of all people.
While
you're waiting for your Phantom to be repaired.
I got it. This has been a very depressing experience losing my Phantom.
So if you're interested in buying a Phantom, or if you just bought one because you watched our video, the review video, you should read these best practices and practical etiquette, because that's a great picture, Jeremy, on your kids, on your iPad. Anyway, you should read it because there are a lot of things that we did not know or that we've been doing and taking for granted that is not accepted in the quadcopter community.
Is this going to affect future shoots?
Well, they're community guidelines.
Yeah.
For example, it's always good best practice that you should create an imaginary barrier between where your drone can fly and where you're standing. So
you don't accidentally whack yourself in the face with the propeller?
Imaginary planes should never fly it over your head.
Why not?
Because you fly into a rock face.
Because you never know. You should always stand.
So you're saying you should have a cone in front of you that's the safe fly zone.
Or a line. A plane where it's going to be, your quadcopter is only going to fly.
What if you like
plane.
corner of the eye, and just check to see what was behind you?
Well, that's why it's a plane. It's not recommended.
Corner of the eye. Yeah, I do it in the car all the time.
Not recommended for situational awareness.
Okay, so let me give you another scenario, and you tell me if this is a good idea or a bad idea.
Okay.
You're driving your car. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting in the passenger seat with the quadcopter controls, and I put the quadcopter on the roof of the car. Mm-hmm. We launch it. And then you start driving and I follow us in the quadcopter as we get on the freeway.
That's a pretty bad idea.
Why is that a bad idea? Which part?
All of it.
Okay.
Also, we said in our video, and we were assured by the DJI representative that we talked to, that these motors, these brushless motors, they are powerful, but you know, you're not gonna get more than like a blood blister if you.
Well, no, what he said was, when I've hit my finger, I got a blood blister.
When I hit my finger, I got a blood blister. It can do some serious damage. And it's because there's no feedback system.
It'll just keep going.
It'll just keep going. The motors keep on spinning.
Yeah.
Even if you stop one, the other three are going to keep on spinning. Mm-hmm. So it's not like the whole system stops. And the motors are really strong on these things. I'm like already thinking about all the close encounters I've had and thinking about what a terrible, terrible thing it would have been.
Somebody crashed into a building in St. Louis this week. Phantom 2 into a building in...
Was there video?
No, they abandoned it, I think.
Oh, well.
One was found on the street here in San Francisco.
Oh.
The people brought it into their house, and then they realized they had brought in a surveillance drone into their house, and they removed the battery and put it on Craigslist.
Yeah, so this was...
That's really funny.
Well, I don't think they sold it. I think they're looking for the owner.
The funniest point of it is like they realized they brought a surveillance drone.
Yeah.
Oops. Oh, okay. Local news. Thanks.
Local news. Something's happening.
Autoplay. In St. Louis, a drone, a DJI Phantom 2 crashed into the St. Louis Met building, I think.
These things are fun,
Met
but
Square
we should not,
building.
We should not think of them as toys.
They're the best toys are expensive and dangerous, Norm.
Well,
why do people like guns?
Well,
they're expensive and dangerous. Why do people like swords? Expensive and dangerous. Why do people like submarines and sports cars? Expensive and dangerous.
You gotta respect the quadcopter. And the biggest thing is that when flying by sight over the phone, over the app,
which is all you're allowed to do according to the FAA, you have to have line of sight and you have to be able to see the drone.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Is that true?
That's what I was told.
Huh.
And under 400 feet.
And 1,000 feet away from you.
It's not recommended to fly by the app, which is technically FPV flying. It's not going to do that unless you've really mastered the fly by sight, the orientation.
Well,
which I think you, at a certain extent, have done more so than
I don't think
me.
I don't think so. I think what makes this so easy to fly is that you can get like first person shooter style orientation by looking at the screen. You know,
you don't have enough of a field of view on the screen to do that safely.
No, but you can tell which way is if you're just strafing, you can tell if you orient yourself so that you know if I was going through that archway, mm-hmm. the only way I could have done that is with the screen, even though I could see it, because strafing left and right was reversed,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't tell if I was lined up going straight or not.
Right,
if I didn't have that screen.
And at high altitudes, you can't see the orientation at all.
Yeah,
so you really need the screen. But I mean, there's a mental trade-off at some point. Like it becomes much easier to fly by sight. And
yes.
At some point you kind of have to rely on the screen.
I find myself switching modes, you know, it's like a total switch. Which one am I going to do?
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing that I find myself doing is when I'm far away and it's difficult for me to tell the orientation of the quad, which I guess some people would probably say is the point at which you should bring it closer to you. Then I switch to the screen, and when I'm coming in for the landing or for a flyby, if I want to buzz the tower, then you know I switch to I watch what's going on with my eyes.
Other news related to the drone. So read the best practices. I think
it's a good story.
These are things that you should be scared of.
I will read them.
It's a lot of it seems like it should be common sense, but it there's a lot
common
to think
sense
about.
The goes thing out the window.
Well, the thing about flying the drone is that it's kind of exhausting. Like flying, when you hear somebody says, oh, it has 20 minutes of battery, that seems like a very short period of time, right up until the moment that you fire it up and you take off, and then you're full concentration on like four different things for that 20 minutes.
It just seems like it's a short amount of time if you're using it for production, if you're waiting on other people and you're waiting for one shot, then it is a short amount of time. But if you're fully focused on flying, then time goes by very quickly.
The other thing is that it's hard... Because of the level of concentration you have to put into flying it. While it is easier to fly to the other stuff, if you want to do anything even remotely complex or plan out like a cool shot or something like that, you have to really focus on it. And it's difficult that in order for you to do that safely, the other stuff has to be kind of just rote where you don't have to think about it, the safety stuff. And I think that's the real benefit of these relatively inexpensive quads, whether it's the Phantom or something you build yourself or other stuff that's coming. Like the fact that you'll be able to get hours in without spending a whole shitload of money is going to make people who use these safer ultimately.
Would you guys be in favor of a license requirement to fly these?
No.
It's a very good question.
Did you guys talk about the Yosemite thing last week?
No.
That came out on Friday.
Okay, so Yosemite reinforced the fact that they've banned quads and other RC vehicles inside the park. Which
RC aerial vehicles.
RC aerial vehicles. I assume RC
I don't know if they reinforced it. I think this is a new rule.
My understanding was that that parks always had banned quad RC
interesting
quads and helicopters and planes.
That's right.
All that.
I did read that they were using that existing rule about having banned helicopters.
Right.
But I didn't know that they're already banned.
And for that matter, they also have banned helicopters. It's not just like you can't take an aerial tour of Yosemite on a helicopter because it ruins the park for everyone else.
But very explicitly last Friday, the National Park Service issued a statement saying that Yosemite and presumably in other national parks soon to come, drones, quadcopters, and they had a photo on their Facebook page of what looked like a Phantom drone in Yosemite. Those are not only prohibited, but it is illegal to have them in the park.
So it's a federal crime.
And with punishment of up to 6 months in prison. $5,000.
Does that mean you're a felon at that point too?
Who wants to be the martyr?
Well, but their reasoning is good. Like, I don't think that there's I don't have a problem with this at all.
No, I don't either. No one who goes to Yosemite is going to have a problem with this, except the guy who wants to do it.
Well, here's a fair point, but I mean there's been issues with people crashing them into rock faces, into mount cliffs, places where people mountain climb, which is incredibly dangerous. Flying, I know just from flying around mid-sized buildings that flying around anything that generates its own wind on one face up and down on the other is really hard to fly around. And I know that from standing on top of cliffs, you know, you get the thing where you throw a paper airplane out off of a cliff and it blows straight back up and comes right back at you. That is going to be really hard to control any kind of quad in. And they're loud and obnoxious. Nobody wants those loud in fucking
That's
Yosemite.
The That's the thing.
It's disturbing the scenic environment.
The majestic wonder.
Yeah. It's maybe harassing people who are, you know, hiking or climbing trees, doing their other Yosemite activities.
Not to mention the wildlife.
And the wildlife.
they need to learn to adapt.
And then some park services grant permits for certain activities. So, and I would not be surprised if you had to apply for certain permits for filming, just like you do for filming, to use certain things. And while I wouldn't I wouldn't want there to be a license requirement for general quadcopter flying, I think that there could be an optional license or certification that you could get that would let you apply for these type of permits.
I would like to see a solution where the Park Service says, okay, we're going to have for 1 week a year or 2 weeks a year or 10 days spread out throughout the year, we'll have days that it's okay to fly these things.
Purge.
And also gate the number that they allow. So there are 10 permits a day or 20 permits a day or something
like
that.
It's like hunting season.
And then only in specific areas.
And then only in specific areas.
I would love that because, God, if you could just imagine the shots you could get there.
The time was last 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, you missed your window.
The time was going to be 72 weeks ago.
You know,
and
you
can fly and get all those shots. You would have been the
guys,
only person.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you, we can go to Utah. The TV has told me that they have five amazing national parks that are all close drive from each other. Canyonlands.
You saw five. Didn't they shoot Hunger Games there?
They shot a lot of stuff there. They shot a bunch of John Ford Westerns were shot in Monument Valley. There's a ton of cool stuff there. So then Bryce and Zion, those two are right next to each other. They're both awesome. We should totally go there. They haven't banned it yet. We can totally get in before the window closes. it'll be priceless footage.
I'm concerned about the window in general, not just at parks, but everywhere.
The first time somebody gets killed by one of these things, it's all over.
That's why I'm not entirely convinced we shouldn't have licenses. I mean, it might be coming eventually, you know, might be forced upon us, but I wonder if it shouldn't be voluntary.
Certification. I think voluntary certification for certain, but that grants you access to certain places and times and And I think restrictions are within reason. Restrictions are okay.
But how long? Okay, so kind of the core example for this is the lasers and airplanes. You know, the people shooting lasers, handheld, like green and blue lasers at airplane cockpits is a super bad thing. Because, you know, what happens is the laser blooms out a little bit over the 1,000 or 2,000 feet to the airplane, hits the glass of the cockpit, and then it illuminates the entire cockpit the color of the laser and blows out the pilot's night vision. So it's super dangerous. Like, obviously, really, really bad. Even if the laser doesn't go in the pilot's eye and give them a flash of blindness that way, it still will fuck up their night vision, best case, and is bad. So the airports have started tracking, like, it's not like these are untrackable devices. You know, if you spend $1,000 on a quad, they know within what, you know, Doppler weather radar will pick up the quad and they'll be able to tell where people are. Mm. At least within a couple of...
They should develop better quads to snatch them up in the air. Flying like, oh, no. Consumer quad, snatch. Crush it.
That's a quad drone.
Yeah. Wow. But what if...
Predator.
I mean, what if the Amazon drone future that they're promising comes to pass and the skies become crowded with these things?
Well, the Amazon future is outside of cities. It's the skirt, the edge of the cities, or to go in rural places. Where there are no easy car.
Where there's not regular FedEx and.
Yes. Or where it's very expensive.
DHL or whatever.
To get a FedEx out there.
Hmm. I don't know.
I just know I'm a relatively cautious.
You don't sound relatively cautious.
I mean, just in life. I'm relatively cautious. Oh. I'm also like, I used to be a pretty good gamer. I've got hand-eye coordination. Okay. And I'm just kind of, I'm focused and deliberate. And I crashed. And it could have just as easily...
It can happen to you.
It could happen to anybody. So I'm just saying...
Did you feel like you get mad with power when you get behind the wheel of that thing?
Yes.
Is that...
It's liberating.
It's exciting. It's definitely very exciting. And it overrides...
Do you feel like you can do anything? You feel super strong? Feel like you could drink...
Norm doesn't have as much of a problem. He seems to be restrained and conscientious, whereas I kind of lose myself. I get drunk with...
Norm is always...
newfound, like... sense of flight.
Norm is always pretty dialed. You know, he's under tight control all the time.
He won't want the force. Did you see the video of the guy flying over San Francisco at night?
Yeah.
Which one is that?
I'm pretty sure it was with a Phantom.
Mm-hmm.
That was dangerous.
What did he do?
Over the Embarcadero
and over the Bay Bridge.
Jesus.
I think he was at, I don't think it was Pier 14, but.
Yeah, he wasn't near the cars. But had he crashed or hit
he would have hit a car, or been road debris.
Hit a vortex at that point, yeah.
Well, the other thing is, if you lose your Phantom, here's the other takeaway. When the guys crashed that copter into the building in St. Louis, and it crashed and it went down, I'm sure the people like dropped their shit and ran away like scared little girls. Mm. But DJI and or Amazon and or whoever sold that copter to them, like the copter has a serial number on it. DJI knows which vendor sold that model. The vendor knows who they sold that to.
Well,
these things are traceable.
You're talking about like gun registration. Should people be required to register their
I'm okay with quadcopter registration.
Wow. I have a movie for you.
Which one?
It's
you had a couple crazy, opportunities
God,
here.
Damn it. It was the crazy gun control movie. Red Dawn.
That was a gun control movie?
That was anti-gun
the,
control
the
movie.
The one with Thor or the one from the 80s?
One from the 80s.
That was not a gun control movie. That was an anti-Russia
100% movie? Anti-gun control. Because the first thing they do when the Russians land, when they parachute over a small town, America, they went straight for the gun stores to find out the gun registration so they could kill all the people who had guns.
Had guns?
Because they were resistant fighters.
That movie was written by a crazy right-wing guy.
Yep.
He wrote that bad shooter, Homefront, too, right?
Yep.
That was really bad. That was racist in addition to being bad.
The Verge did a story on smart guns this week, and I thought the title was great. It was The NRA Wants to Take Away Your Smart Guns, which I just thought was a nice twist. Good title.
Okay.
That's all.
Cool. What else is going on?
A smart gun, as in the bullets could curve or like smart gun as in the biometric sensor?
It looks at your finger.
Well, the ones they were talking about actually was a smartphone connected.
Okay.
So it had to be within range of, actually it was a watch with an RFID in it.
Hey guys.
One step away from James Bond.
Hey guys. Did you hear the rumor that Apple is in final talks to acquire Beats for $3.2 billion?
Dr. Dre?
Just Beats. No, I think the by Dre part is no longer part of Beats anymore. Oh. Or maybe it's that Beats is no longer part of Monster anymore. I don't know. Hmm. The upshot is Apple plus Beats. We'll calling it Beat Apple.
No. We're not getting,
Apple Let's.
Why are they buying them?
Because their headphones blow ass, dude.
Yeah, but
so do Beats's. But they at least have good marketing, so people think their headphones are good.
I don't think Apple needs to buy a headphone manufacturer.
Wait, Apple's not buying Beats.
Apple in final talks to acquire Beats for $3.2 billion.
That's the stupidest thing.
According to the Financial Times, I bet it's for the little speakers.
What?
The pill.
This is so strange. I don't know.
There's no way Apple's spending $3 billion to buy Beats.
There's a picture on TechMeme right now of Tim Cook, Beats co-founder Jimmy Iovine, and Eddie Q.
Apple together on stage?
No, they just photoshopped them together. So it's totally real.
Apple buys a lot of services and they buy a lot of software.
They got that Beats Music service now.
But that, maybe that's it then.
No.
I've never heard of Apple buying a hardware manufacturer.
They bought people who make silicon. They don't buy, traditionally, they don't buy consumer goods manufacturers, but they buy like chip vendors and stuff like that.
Apple buying Beats, it would be a stupid and terrible decision.
The Apple Sapphire Glass rumor is super interesting though, huh?
Why? That they'll have a monopoly on it?
That's no surprise. Apple, if you recall, Apple introduced the iPod Nano specifically so that they could drive cost of flash memory down as part of the 10-year plan for the iPhone. That's my theory.
So why is it interesting about the Sapphire thing?
Because they're doing the same thing all over again. Everybody's all surprised about it.
It's just for more resilient glass, right?
Well, much more scratch resistant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. I don't know. It seems like a Sapphire gets a lot of press, and I don't really
have you taken your phone? See, you only keep phones for a year. This is the difference. No, I'm not like we're all in the same boat. But take your 6-month-old phone out into the bright light and look at how many dozens of tiny little scratches are on it.
Yeah. Micro scratches.
Yeah, micro scratches. That impacts that's why it doesn't feel new anymore.
Okay.
So I think it's still usable.
If you have a piece of glass that doesn't do that, isn't that better?
How much more expensive is it going to be?
I'm going to guess that it's going to cost exactly the same thing every other iPhone has cost at launch.
Is that in Apple's interest to get people not to upgrade their phones?
I think people are going to not upgrade their phones.
I think people are going to upgrade their phones regardless, but they have a better sense the cognitive dissonance of spending that money.
Yeah.
I spent some time in the real world over the last month with people that don't live in Northern California.
Whoa.
And
listen to Will going on to the real world.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I saw a lot of fucking iPhone 4s out there. I saw some 4Ss. I saw a lot of 5s. I saw a 3G. It was a dark time out there. People don't upgrade. I saw people that weren't using iOS 7. And I saw a bunch of like normal, decent sized Android phones. None of this note nonsense, the tab business. People use real phones out there. It's not all 5Ss.
It's a market opportunity.
My father fucking bought a champagne 5S also.
Great. I bought my dad a champagne 5S.
I don't think I could see somebody not running iOS 7 and not say something, even if they're a stranger.
I took my mom's phone. And I was like, I'm going to upgrade this for you. And she said, don't do that. I won't know how to use it.
It is very true.
Yeah, no, it would be scary.
And I said, my father figured out how to use it when he bought the champagne 5S.
Oh man.
And she said, that's not a nice thing to say that your father could, that's not nice on both fronts. And I was like, you know what? You're right. That wasn't nice on both fronts. I did not mean that as a compliment for either of you. Yeah. Tech support for family members is always good. What do you guys think about, antivirus?
What?
Antivirus software?
Yeah.
Geosemantic came out and said the antivirus software market is done.
Is that right?
Yes.
Why?
Because nobody needs antivirus software anymore.
Why not?
because the operating systems aren't insecure pieces of shit like they were in the Windows XP days.
Really?
Yes.
Because Windows incorporates its own antivirus?
It prevents you from downloading stuff that you should not be downloading.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Smart UAC?
Interesting.
Smart UAC. I mean, it has the Windows, I can't remember what they call it now, but it's what started as Windows Antivirus. I think it's Windows Smart Secure or something like that now is what they call it, but I can't remember what it's called. Anyway.
You know, John McAfee has released his own IM client?
He's the crazy guy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen his How to Uninstall McAfee Antivirus video, it's worth watching.
He did a How to Uninstall McAfee Antivirus.
Well, McAfee Antivirus is owned by Intel
like
now.
10 years after he sold it. He like lives in Columbia. He's crazy. Right. But
so maybe associated with some murders.
Yeah, he just released a thing. It's called I forget what it's called.
How Sean Parker of him.
It's totally encrypted. It goes through his own servers.
It goes through his servers.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I trust him. He's not at all crazy.
It has a name that's like, it's not Jabber, but it's something like that.
Is it based on Jabber?
I don't think so.
Oh.
McAfee instant messaging.
Yeah.
Did you,
MIM's the word.
Here is, have we talked, did you talk about the FCC thing last week?
No.
No, we didn't touch that.
Oh my God. So the FCC.
That's a big deal.
That is a big deal. The FCC basically recanted its position of the last, 4 years or so, 5 years on network neutrality for the internet.
What was its position before?
Its position before was that network neutrality is the law of the land for, mm-hmm. which means that all packets are treated equal. No one can buy preferred access, yada, yada,
and
for wired networks.
Obama, in part, campaigned on that.
Yes. Obama said, I believe in the internet as it is. They released a memo several weeks ago. Now, maybe last week or the week before. And said that Verizon and ISP were allowed to charge companies for a fast lane that privileged their data. Earlier this week, a whole shitload of venture capitalists and established tech companies formed a coalition, I think is what I would probably call it, to basically say, look, FCC, you guys are lunatics. This is not a good idea. We need to not do this. And the companies that are on the list are everybody from like Amazon. It's basically what they're saying is, look, if you do this, it's going to kill startups' ability to compete with incumbents, and companies like Netflix and Amazon and Google and YouTube would not exist were this legislation in place today.
I feel like we've been through this before, right?
Well, this is just to be clear. This the idea that the incumbent providers are gating innovation and advancement happened with the cable networks. Like the new channels, the only way you could launch a new cable TV channel is if you had the support of Comcast, Time Warner, one of the big cable providers, because otherwise nobody's going to fucking see it. And that's exactly what the removal of network neutrality would mean for websites. If you wanted to do a video streaming startup and you can't afford to compete with Netflix or Google or Amazon or Xbox or Sony
who are paying a high premium
to Comcast, then you're shit out of luck. Your packets will be a turd sandwich on the data path from my house to the servers. So it's going to come to a head. The thing that seems the general consensus seems to be that at some point there needs to be a stop SOPA like day where we turn the internet off and are basically like, okay, guys,
I want to see
call your fucking congressman.
All the YouTubers tell their viewers to not watch videos on that day.
Well, just, you know, we'll gray out all
PewDiePie.
The videos that day. PewDiePie's in Sweden. He's cool. He got no problem.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can they make YouTube any worse?
Shit about PewDiePie?
No, I'm saying YouTube buffering is gonna be worse.
Oh,
it doesn't seem like the internet providers are gonna ever let up on this issue. We've been through this. We've had this argument. We've settled on net neutrality is the way to go forward.
Yes.
And now we're just back at this again. They're just gonna keep trying to put it in every bill that they ever can.
They are going to keep doing it. And they're gonna keep spending millions and millions and millions of dollars lobbying.
It's the problem is that the networks or the cable companies. They build the cable. They have physical costs.
Well, but a lot of that was, I mean, a lot of their piggybacking on public infrastructure, though. The cable is attached to poles that were put in place by the taxpayers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, yes, they have costs, but the backbones were placed, or the original backbones, I'm sure they've all at this point been replaced, but a lot of that stuff is still public infrastructure that is managed or leased or whatever by big companies. And the thing that annoys me, especially about the local ISPs, is that they want to get paid on both sides. So they want it, that would be like the reservoir system charging me for water, and then also the local somebody charging the reservoirs for. Yeah, I don't know. I got that metaphor completely breaks down.
It's like the cable companies. It's like cable companies.
Yeah,
paying for cable access and also the cable companies.
But that's not the way it works for the cable companies, because the cable companies pay the cable TV stations shitloads of money. Comcast pays ESPN a shitload of money per user to access ESPN content. That's the way it works on that side. Yeah. For the other side, ESPN would theoretically have to pay Comcast a shitload of money for Comcast to cover, to not deprioritize their content. Because just to be clear, we're not talking about giving somebody a fast lane. What we're talking about is deprioritizing everyone else.
Right.
It's like, so, if ESPN wanted to be on channel 2.
So is that why we don't have HBO Go free or available to anybody?
Yeah, so we don't have HBO Go free. You can't get much ESPN over the internet.
Because those companies get paid a ton by the cable.
$8 or $10 or $20 per house from the cable companies. Mm. I mean, at some point, like, it's, if you look at what ESPN and HBO and those companies are doing, it is really clear that they see that the writing is on the wall. And at some point, the number of cable subscribers is going to keep going down, and the number of people who are willing to pay $20 a month for HBO online without having to fuck with Comcast is going to go up enough that HBO tells Comcast to pound sand. And at that moment, everything changes. Because once ESPN and HBO and what are the other, Disney and
ESPN's package, you get Disney because of ESPN. It's all ABC.
Okay. The NBC Universal properties. And of course, that's not going to happen now that Comcast owns NBC Universal and Fox.
FX.
Yeah. And Viacom, which is CBS. So you're not going to see them either.
And so this, if Comcast or the big providers can get rid of net neutrality.
Yeah.
When that spreadsheet, point of
that gets a lot harder.
Tipping point happens
for HBO.
Then they can charge HBO for the fat pipe.
Or they say, hey, as long as you don't start doing this,
still make their money.
We won't charge you for the fat pipe. You get the fat pipe as a comp.
Right.
In exchange for reducing our cost. So the other side of this conversation is that I saw an article on Ards the other day that somebody did a study that showed that most people get like 180 cable channels and watch 17. Mm. How many channels do you watch, Jeremy?
Who watches 17 cable channels?
Do you watch 17 channels?
No, maybe 6.
I watched 3. I looked.
That seems like a lot of people watch a lot of TV.
HBO. Comedy Central. MSNBC.
I think if you filter
AMC,
out... If you filter out FX, the olds, then that number goes from 17 down to like, 6.
I haven't had cable TV in 7 years.
Do you miss it?
Not a day.
Do you get to watch HBO or do you just wait until that stuff's available? Or do you pirate somebody's HBO Go subscription?
I used to, and then that went dead. So now I just get it on DVD.
Yeah, five bucks a month. I know somebody who can hook you up.
Oh,
I think that's also a problem.
What?
Borrowing of the Netflix and the HBO subscription.
I don't have, if they sold it, I wouldn't have a problem with it. If you could go out and buy HBO, if Jeremy could go pay 20 bucks a month to HBO for HBO Go.
It's true. I'd buy it.
He would buy it.
Might as well just download it from BitTorrent. It's effectively the same thing.
There's a threat. There's a risk level with BitTorrent that doesn't exist from just sharing the codes. Jeremy is my long lost son. Didn't you know that? He used to live in my household.
There was a while there where there were articles about how HBO didn't care that people were sharing the codes, that they were okay with it.
Well, the codes just meant people, there'd be subscribers. More eyeballs, more subscribers.
Has HBO Go survived Sunday nights lately?
What does that mean?
The first couple of weeks of the Game of Thrones, of the new season of Game of Thrones, it just fucking didn't work on Sunday nights.
Oh. What?
HBO Go. The premiere and the second week.
The infrastructure HBO.
Yes.
I think demand has dropped off since the
premiere. Okay.
has stabilized.
Yeah. Well, I think what happened was everybody realized that if they're on the West Coast, they could watch it 2 hours earlier because it pops up after the East Coast is up. Yeah. Anything else on the news front? It's like I'm kind of out of the news loop just because I wasn't on the internet for 2 weeks. Anything? I mean, we can play some music and talk about what we've been testing.
I'm 100% sure something has happened. Newsworthy. Something newsworthy has happened in the past 7 days.
Didn't
that we haven't talked about.
Didn't Uber, isn't there an Uber thing?
Oh yeah, they're opening up in London.
No, I thought there was an Google thing.
Oh. Google's just letting Uber tap into like lane-based
Waze maps.
Lane information.
Oh, that changed, right? The new Google Maps has lane navigation, so it tells you to get in the right lane, so you're on the right side 2 miles in advance. Is that how it works? I don't think I've gotten the update yet for iOS.
What the fuck? I'm still reeling from this stupid Apple Beats rumor.
John McAfee's product is called Chatter, by the way.
I feel like that already existed, a Chatter.
He bought it, apparently.
Oh, yeah. It was a Salesforce thing, wasn't it?
It says the Intransfer team developed it.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, go figure.
Did you hear about what was the Unreal Tournament?
The new free Unreal Tournament.
Wait, what? Didn't we do this with Quake Live a few years ago?
We did.
It's free to play?
Why didn't Quake Live take off?
Because the kind of people who play Quake 3 are not people we want to play with because they're like, did you play Quake Live?
I loved Quake 3, but I didn't play Quake Live. No.
Because Quake 3 was fun because you'd mod it and it was frame rates were real high, it was real smooth.
The problem I had was that when I went into Quake Live, the only people who were there that were people who had never stopped playing Quake 3. So it was just one beating after the next.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So next Unreal Tournament, completely free to play.
Mm-hmm. Is this Fortnite or is this something else?
No, UT.
Okay.
The code is all free and accessible through GitHub.
What? Really?
Yes.
That's interesting.
From the very first line of code, the very first art created and design decision made, development will happen in the open as a collaboration between Epic, UT fans, and UE4 developers.
That's interesting.
So obviously they want to get more people on UE4.
So it's free, not you don't have to pay anything.
Well...
Wait, development hasn't started yet?
No.
So there's two ways to look at this. One would be... Hey guys, we want somebody to make, we want to make this, but we don't really want to spend a lot of money on it. So maybe you guys could do it because you like it.
So the company also plans, okay, so there will be an online marketplace. So it'll be hats.
I like hats.
Epic will take a cut.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wait, so, wow. So Google Maps is going to include Uber integration?
No. The other way around.
No, look. Google announced a huge update to its Maps app that will include Uber integration.
Well, Google's investor in Uber.
That's true. They spent $200-something million, $248 million. Dollars.
Well, that's a coup for Uber.
An Uber coup?
An Uber goober.
Uber. You're an Uber goober.
Uber. Did you just call it goober?
I'm going to play some music and we can talk about... Oh, I do have a... I did get a Google Maps update today on my phone. No, I did not. I thought I did. No, I did. It was yesterday.
Can you toggle Uber cars?
I don't know.
Track them?
If you have the Uber app installed, open it right from the Google Maps when comparing route options.
Weren't you going to tell a story about Uber? Uber driver?
We met a fan who was an Uber driver yesterday.
We flew to LA.
Is this a first?
No.
As an Uber driver?
No, I had an Uber driver who recognized me once before.
It was the first this week, yeah.
It was Wednesday. It was a little late. So he got in the car and he said, hey, you guys have a YouTube channel, right? And we said, yeah, good to meet you.
I like you guys.
Small chat. Yeah, I like you guys.
I bought a Fire TV.
This is because of your video.
I think it's actually pretty good.
So you could be watching this. Episode.
It's
right
possible.
Here.
I don't think anybody really watches
this.
Hi, Z's. but as I was looking at
five stars.
As I was looking at the, as he was saying this, I was like, wait, he watched our Fire TV video and thought I should go buy this?
I took away from the conversation. He said that I actually thought it was pretty good. So he bought it in spite of the video.
Yeah, I need to go back and rewatch that video. Maybe our intent wasn't made clear enough video.
I think the intent was clear, but he bought it anyway.
He has an Apple TV too, so maybe he's just a dude who likes having shit hooked up to his TV.
The Uber drivers are classy dudes.
Yeah, exactly. So
they're with it.
It was a good car. The Google Maps update does cool stuff because I used it. I realized something happened yesterday when I was using it and I didn't realize what had changed. But now when you put in the map, it gives you also flight time. Like if you say I want to drive from San Francisco to San Diego, it also gives you public like bus routes, train routes, and airplane routes. So it'll be like you can drive for 10 hours or you could fly for an hour.
That's impressive.
Yeah, and I assume that Uber is also part of that. Yep. So, yeah, there we go. That's it. I'm not talking about news anymore. We don't have any more news to talk about. We are woefully underprepared. I'm going to play some music, and then we're going to talk about what we've been testing.
I'm sure there's more news.
Well, then we can do more news after the what we've been testing segment.
Where's the dubstep transitions?
I don't have a dubstep transition. It's a real... I mean, I can
there you go.
Mix it, remix.
I'm trying to think if I tested anything while I was gone. I flew the drone some the weekend before I left, unexpectedly. That was fun. I took a lot of videos of the area around my neighborhood. I got a privacy screen for my laptop. That's pretty cool. Because I sat next to, on the flight out to DC, the guy I sat next to just was reading my laptop the entire time.
You still fly that drone?
And
every day, you know it. Call back to, I was thinking of the Bodie, the Keanu Reeves movie.
Point Break?
Point Break. And at the end of the movie, he goes, "You still surfing?" He says, "Keanu Reeves, every day."
Did that movie invent the bro?
Yeah.
Did the bro exist before Point Break?
Popularized the bro.
What's a privacy thing? Is it like a polarized thing?
Yeah. So check it out. You can't see my screen.
Yeah. No, you're right. It's still black. Still can't see it. And black. I would say I'm 45 degrees off.
It's a 60 degree window.
It's reducing the functionality of what people normally think is a benefit of
and
the screen.
Does it look the same to you, Will?
Looks
with more, and without.
It is it's like the difference between a polarized lens versus a not polarized
lens. So you would not do image editing on that?
I would not do image editing if I was concerned about color accuracy, but I'm using a MacBook Air, so I probably wouldn't do that anyway.
That's the correct answer.
Yeah.
Wow, it is pitch black.
Yeah. You don't know. My computer could be off.
It's an IKEA
I'm just
laptop.
Sitting here working on a dumb, broken laptop.
IKEA laptop.
It was $25, and it sticks on with little gluey stuff.
$25 is expensive.
I thought it was pretty expensive, but it was the top rated really one on Amazon. Expensive. And the wire cutter didn't have a recommendation. So I just went with whatever the top rated one on Amazon was. It's a 3M. It's pretty good.
If you fly on airplanes a lot, you don't want to see people. You don't want to let people know you're watching porn.
I would not use this. The thing
for color accuracy, I would not watch porn on my.
Yeah, you don't want porn on here. The neat thing about this one and the reason I think it's expensive is because it has two sides. One's matte with a little bit wider field of view, mm-hmm. a matte surface. Mm-hmm. One is shiny with a narrower field of view. I stuck with the shiny one because I'm not offended by shiny laptop displays.
Glossy.
Yeah, but if you want a matte laptop display, this would be a way to get a matte laptop display.
Still can't see it.
Nope, it's off.
Oh my God. And yet when you look at it straight on.
It looks pretty good, right?
Looks very shimmery.
It's
like
there's a little bit
I
of a window.
At most
you're off axis. 20
degrees off axis from it, and half the screen is unlegible.
Well, you have to be right in front of it.
That's weird. I don't like it.
Can you point it over here, please?
I can't because I'm out of cord, I think.
All right.
But hold on. There you go.
Yep.
Best podcast ever.
Yeah, this is amazing.
Oh, I see it.
I bet you guys are glad I'm
there
back.
You go.
It looks like a good solution. It solved your problem.
The Pebble Steel finally came. I ordered that like 2 months ago.
There you go.
You going to be doing a test on that?
It's on my wrist right now.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. No one noticed.
It's
no one noticed.
It's I think it's 4-2. I think that means it's 4:20.
Nope.
Or 4:02.
4:02. That is a really ugly watch.
It's much better than the old one.
It's really ugly.
You want to see it?
Yes.
Would you like to fondle the watch? It does a better job. I already like it better than I like the last of the smartwatches I tested, which was that Meta watch from TI. Well,
the Meta watch
that was so bad we didn't even do a video.
Nothing, zero coverage. Yeah, I already.
Will, this could have been interest you.
Okay. Oh, it's not so bad.
Yeah, it's pretty good on screen.
It's actually pretty.
And is that on all the time?
Yeah, so I think it's e-paper. The screen, it's on all the time. When you waggle your wrist, then the backlight comes on, so at nighttime you can see it.
Nice.
Yeah. You can also hit the button on the top left.
There goes the
light. It just came on. Like if you have your hand down at your side and you lift it up, it just turns on.
I would wear this next to my analog watch.
That's real meta and weird. I was impressed because it came with both the leather strap and a metal bracelet. I thought that was nice.
The leather strap, it looks much better.
The leather strap was the better looking of the two.
It's genuine Corinthian leather.
Is that what it says?
No, it's genuine leather. Oh, I wish it said genuine Corinthian leather.
Leather would be really awesome and dumb. What have you been testing? What have you been into, Norm?
I got to play Mario Kart 8.
Where did you play Mario Kart 8? Can you say?
I cannot say, but it was brought to my house and it's amazing. It's amazing. I might buy a Wii.
When was the last Mario Kart you played? The Wii one?
Wii Mario Kart.
Why was it amazing? Can you say why it was amazing?
The levels are really good.
Like they're vertical and stuff?
I don't know if... I think Nintendo's announced 32 levels.
Yeah.
Several of them are remakes from all different eras of Mario Kart.
Like straight remakes or inspired by remakes?
Inspired, like layout the same, but some...
shit has changed a little bit. Yeah.
But the new maps are incredible. There are two Star Roads.
Double Star Road?
Nintendo is so desperate for Wii U sales that they've built a Mario Kart with two Star Roads.
What's the hook this go around? Like, if you look at the GameCube one, it's that you have the piggyback guy, and then the Wii U one, I don't know what the...
Customizable cars.
You could do customizable cars?
You unlock a ton of different vehicles.
Oh, that comes out soon, right?
I believe very soon.
Yeah. It's a Sunday.
Some kind of smartphone app associated with it too.
Really?
Yeah.
Nintendo's getting crazy. They're just out of control. Anything else you tested while I was gone? Last week? Anything? Nothing? Just flying drones every day?
Flying drones. Bought a new mini quad, nano quad. Smaller than the one you have, Jeremy.
Yep.
A nano quad. Brandon came by. Brandon,
that's the one I bought.
Oh, you bought that one? Okay. When does Mario come out? It is unclear to me.
You could ask Google.
I'm looking for May 30th. Man, that's a long time from now. Jeremy, anything you've been testing besides the drone crash, FedEx shipping services?
Nothing. No. I mean, there was that trailer for the next Call of Duty that kind of got leaked or released after a leak. Call of Duty, it's got a new...
Advanced Warfare.
Is that what it is?
It is.
Thank you.
Instead of Modern Warfare.
And it stars Kevin Spacey.
It does.
Kaiser Soze himself. Spoilers. Well,
some people suppose... It's connected to...
House of Cards?
House of Cards.
He plays a very similar character.
It's a stretch.
He's always played similar characters.
But it is a similar character.
That's not true at all.
No. He's like a politician turned, you know, military commander.
Okay.
He's leading some...
There is no way that you're playing Francis Underwood.
Frank.
Yeah, Claire calls him Francis.
In the next Call of Duty game.
I'm not saying there's no way.
No way.
How many straws...
In any case, it you know...
That is even less likely than Apple buying Beats.
Well...
And I'm already incredulous.
I just was shocked that that's already on Steam for pre-order.
I know.
It comes out in November.
Yeah.
And it's barely May.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, hey guys, give us some money. We can make this happen.
It's interesting that we're kind of seeing a return to star power in video games. It just reminds me of like Wing Commander 3.
Do you mean the indie? FMV stuff.
Right. But this is now, you know, they're rendered, which is interesting. I think if this is successful, we'll probably see a lot more of it.
Call of Duty has always, at least for the past couple generations, always relied on recognizable voice actors.
Mm-hmm.
Kiefer.
Same with Grand Theft Auto.
And sometimes they're rendered in-game close to the actors. I mean, like for PS4 games, we're talking about, well, I guess, the
The Rockstar thing?
Not the Rockstar thing. Yeah. What was the Ellen Page game?
Oh, Beyond Two Souls.
Right. That was modeled after her.
And Willem Dafoe.
To some extent.
The LA, what was the Los Angeles detective, the Raymond Chandler?
LA Noir.
No, that's the movie.
LA Noir was the game.
Oh, Noir. Okay. Yeah. That game.
LA Confidential was the movie.
LA Confidential was. Okay.
Yeah, that had crazy face detective.
Right. And I mean, they didn't take huge names, but they took big names. I mean, there were people from Mad Men and lots of TV shows and stuff.
That technology is better in animation than they cared less about modeling the faces like the actors' faces as they did modeling the animation using.
I think it was both because the faces looked like the actors. And then they also captured the motion so that there was no...
We're not talking like Jessica Chabot on Mass Effect, though, where they straight up...
The LA Noir, they totally... Like the guy, the detective guy is the guy from one of the characters from Mad Men, and it looked exactly like him. You just didn't know the actor, probably.
Character actors.
Yeah.
Because all the dialogue was 3D scanned.
Yeah, like they put they got a super up close with them with a shitload of cameras around them and... put dots on their faces and like tracked their faces and captured and then applied that mesh to a model. You did something else interesting.
I don't know, man. I've just been soldering the hell out of some game.
Oh, are you assembling frames?
Game frame stuff.
Norm, have you gone over to help yet?
Not yet.
I've not been invited.
Oh.
Jeremy needs
I gotta
to
get to a point where it's like
process.
You know, some clear. I gotta do a lot of soldering first.
Okay. You're working through the sequence of events?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yep. I did watch an interesting YouTube documentary about Super Smash.
Really?
You guys seen this at all?
The
Nintendo franchise? The Smash Brothers thing?
Yeah, is it about the GameCube version?
Super Smash Brothers. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's about a community of competitive players.
I thought you didn't like Super Smash Brothers.
I played it at your house.
Yeah, you came over and were like, what the fuck is this? This is terrible. We should do something else.
And again, it's a game that sells Nintendo hardware.
And I guess they're making another one.
Yeah, it's coming out soon.
It's because there's this following. And I guess this group of people, there's an international group of people who play this game competitively who think that it's better than any other fighting game. And they can tell you why. And it's an intriguing documentary. I recommend watching it.
So the thing, our friend Ryan Davis had a theory about Smash Brothers and Mario Kart, which was that the one that you love the most is the one that you play the first. Like that first taste is the sweetest. So the first Mario Kart I played was SNES Mario Kart. I have deep love for SNES Mario Kart. I also love N64 Mario Kart.
It was the very first Mario Kart.
Yes. But GameCube Mario Kart, the DS Mario Kart, great. But that was because it had a lot of SNES Mario Kart tracks. I'm interested to see what they do with the next one.
Yep. I want them to make a new Diddy Kong Racing. That was always my game. On the on the N64. Rare.
I know.
An early Rare title.
The thing that did was the same thing that the 3DS version of Mario Kart did. You had air, land, and sea vehicles, which was fun. Diddy Kong was a real easy game to break, though.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, you could, if you had the right setup, you could just basically run over everything. Own race after race. It was a little broken. But that was the day before patching. The days before patching. Okay, I think that's it. Did you watch Jack Bauer? Jeremy Williams?
No.
Can we talk about Jack Bauer?
Oh, you can talk the hell out of Jack
Bauer. Okay, I'm going to play some music. Let's take a question or two, and then we'll talk about Jack Bauer.
Emails?
Well, but we do the other one.
Emails.
We don't do emails, we do.
Emails?
No.
Questions.
Boom.
If you have a question for it, this is only a test. The email address is podcast@tested.com. Please keep your questions short and concise. And if we like them, we will read them on air. Apologies for the wide range in volumes today, by the way. My soundboard software updated and all of my presets got jacked up. So they're not, I didn't realize until it was too late to fix. So I'll fix it before next week's episode. And probably if you're listening to this, you won't even know that it happened because I'll fix it in post. Chris asks, my wife and I got married just over 3 months ago. We're both nerds. We both ourselves allowed one, he calls it a blow purchase. I don't know what that means. With our wedding money, and I went and bought an original in good condition Megazord from the first Power Rangers TV show. 28 years old, I still look at it every day and think about how cool it is. What stuff would you like from your childhood that you don't have?
Reclaim, are you sure it was a question for this podcast, not the other podcast?
I think it applies to either.
Okay.
Norm?
Reclaiming your childhood.
Reclaiming your childhood.
It's a good thing to do if you want to reclaim your childhood is to make a list of all the toys that you remember.
That you loved.
And you loved, and keep eBay searches, saved eBay searches for these toys.
Did your parents not keep your toys?
I manually threw them up.
Oh, you got rid of them?
Yeah, to take up space.
You manually threw them out.
Manually.
Wow.
I willingly.
Your mom said, hey, see, I can't even.
I'd have a robot do it at all.
I can't even imagine. Like, I would have never thrown out toys. If I loved something, it's probably still in the barn at my parents' house.
Well, we didn't have barns here in San Francisco.
Well, that's true. You have limited space here.
It was better to keep the report cards than the toys.
When you were 16, did you ask your parents for a storage unit? Hey, mom, can I have a storage unit for my stuff?
Nope.
Okay. Oh. Jeremy?
My mom would just have yard sales, and I think I would keep the money from my stuff.
Oh, but you weren't running around the yard sale like, no.
Sometimes, like most of the time, I don't remember even being there. So she would just sort of sell my Transformers.
She'd send you off to camp and then sell shit that you loved? That is ice cold. Sorry, I didn't mean to bring up sad childhood memories.
I don't know what I would do, though. I've always wanted to put together a computer museum. That's what I would call it. Where I just have like a row of the old computers that I used to play.
Like the Jeremy Williams Computer Museum.
Like the PC Junior and like a 486 and like have my... I have a Roland MT32.
What was a PC Junior was like an 8088 with no cache or something? Is that right?
I have no idea what the processor was. It was like a 4 megahertz machine. It was
pre 286 though, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. It was like IBM AT successor. Yeah. It had 16 colors. It was what the Tandy emulated, and then it did a 3 voice sound, which was impressive. Wow. But it was like what King's Quest was made to demonstrate.
Yeah.
Anyway, I would probably put that together. I'd probably put together old PC stuff.
I think there's reclaiming your childhood and buying the stuff that you had that you no longer have.
Or the stuff that you didn't have but wanted.
All the stuff that you saw in magazines and ads. All that Franklin Mint stuff.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Franklin Mint's 3D Star Trek chess set. Guess who has one?
You bought one?
Fuck yeah, I bought one.
How much was it?
$125.
All right.
One day.
Franklin, it's 24 karat gold.
It's the kind of thing you can hand down to your kids, Norm.
3D chess set, Star Trek official license, limited edition.
And just remember, if you have more than one kid, then you have to get two because they both have to have one. It's the family heirloom.
It's a game they can play it together.
But only until a certain time. Anyway, I always wanted one of the AT-ATs, the Kenner AT-ATs. I my parents got me the Ewok Village the year that I asked for the AT-AT because the Ewok Village they thought was cooler because it was bigger and a playset.
So
and I was like, Mom, Ewok Villages are lame as shit.
What you should do is deprive your children of the stuff that's easy to get. So later on, when they reclaim their childhood, they spare them the expense and they're not buying rare toys.
Well, how are you not a parent, Norm?
really.
It only makes sense. It only makes sense.
Hey, by the way, they're making a new Power Rangers live action movie.
I don't doubt that one bit.
Wow. Announced May 7th.
You know that Joey used to be a Power Ranger?
No, but I imagine once a Power Ranger... Always a power.
He didn't really have powers. He just dressed up in costume
for birthday parties
with
his other
bowling
friends.
Alleys and stuff.
One of them had to be the Pink Ranger.
That's awesome.
Whoever drew the short straw. A random dude from Amsterdam says, "Hello, tested." He did a terrible cyber. I'm just going to read the important part. I was wondering, what websites do you guys check every single day? I know it seems like an obvious question, but it is an interesting one, I think, to say the least. Jeremy Williams?
Always like Reddit, like every hour.
Wow.
That's a lot of Reddit. Are you on the porn side or just like the front page?
Front page.
Okay.
But
what are your subreddits?
I subscribe to Oculus.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And Pixel Art.
Yep.
And mostly defaults. Okay. I just see what's going on.
You get any, like if you're playing games, do you get into a game specific subreddit? Do you ever dive down into like the Mario Kart 8 subreddit?
I probably would appreciate that, but I don't.
It's pretty good. There's when you get into a game that has some deep, good knowledge, like the Dark Souls subreddit was great when I was playing Dark Souls because there was a lot of good information there.
He was telling me about Dark Souls because I missed the Dark Souls phenomenon.
Well, I was saying that you should ask Will about Dark Souls.
And Dark Souls is perfect for you.
Well, it turns out it's a hard game.
It is a hard
game.
I'm
not sure if I have the patience for that.
It is not. It demands precision.
You know what I want to play is this new one.
Hack Slash?
Is it Child of Light? Child of Light.
It rhymes.
It looks really good.
The entire game.
$15. I might pick that up.
And it uses the Rayman engine, I think.
Oh.
So that it has that neat layered thing going on.
Yeah.
I want to play Hack and Slash. I downloaded it last night It is
the Double Fine guys.
It's right? I think it's published by Double Fine. I don't know if it's actually developed by Double Fine, but it's yeah. It's you know the story, right?
No.
So the idea is that you fire up the game, and I'm going to apologize if you this is what Idle Thumbs or Giant Bombcast or something was talking about a few weeks ago, and so I'm paraphrasing. I haven't had a chance to play it yet. But as I understand it, when you hit your sword on something, you get the ability to modify the CVARs related to that object in the game. So, for example, you can if you want to kill something, instead of having to beat it with your sword 50 times to get the hit points down, you just whack it with the sword once and then change its hit points to zero. Or you change the damage that its weapon does to -1 and it will heal you. Hmm. And so as you progress through the game, you learn kind of about game making, and eventually it gets real meta and weird. But it's early access, so who knows if it's going to end up being.
So what about answering this guy's question?
I said Reddit.
What is your answer to this guy's question, Norman Chan?
Dig.
You still
use Dig?
Dig is awesome.
New Dig is pretty good.
New Dig is
awesome. I'm there now and then.
Awesome.
But I don't.
Every morning.
It's totally different than what it used to be.
Which is great.
That's a good thing.
What I like about it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Now, come on. It used to be Reddit.
Yes, and I don't need that because there's Reddit now. But what it has become. I love the
What do you like about it, Norm?
They choose great stories.
Is it still full of scary neocons?
No.
Okay.
Great stories. Interesting stories. Yeah. I otherwise would not. It helps me discover new websites.
That's interesting. Yeah, I'm not there enough these days.
I was going to say Reddit, probably.
Sorry.
I don't go every hour.
Well, you know.
I have a regular cycle of like Ars Technica and like Laughing Squid and Boing Boing and
right.
and that kind
is
of stuff.
Is it a cycle? I just keep one browser window with
five
11,
tabs that I can hit reload all. Yeah.
Open. And when my browser crashes, I know exactly the order of those tabs, spatially what's in the first tab, what's in the second tab, what's all the way to the
You can
tab
just
11.
Open those tabs again by going to your history if you're using Chrome.
Sometimes Chrome does not save the history for that, but I know what they are. The first one's always Tech Meme. Second one is Ars Technica. Third one's Dig. I'm not going to go through the rest of them.
There's 11. I find There's 5 11. Is it more. Once I add more than 5 to this list of sites that I check regularly, then I kind of start to get broken trying to keep up.
And they go in progression of very tech centric to the very last ones are media and the potpourri.
You know, the other thing I did was I set up an if rule to automatically dump anything that I favorite on Twitter. Like if there's a link in it, it dumps it to my Instapaper.
Oh.
Which means that I pretty much always have awesome shit to read in Instapaper. Because if it's cool. something I like read, I'm like, oh, I'll come back to this, but I never actually do come back to it, then that's pretty useful. I think we have one more question. If I want to read this one. This comes from Michael in Edmonton. He says, hey guys, I currently have an iPhone 4S and I told you.
They're out there.
They're out there. And have begun decorating my apartment by having 4x6, I assume, inches. 4x6s printed. They look great from a distance, but as soon as you get within 3 feet of the picture, the quality gets blurry. Is this a trait among all phone cameras, or are there upcoming phones that would produce higher quality prints? My phone contract is up in November, and the only thing that would get me to buy a new phone is noticeably higher quality prints. The only phone I can find to fit this requirement is the Nokia Lumia 1020, but it looks tacky. Anything I should look out for? Thanks, Michael in Edmonton. This seems like a photography question for Norman Chan.
Don't use your smartphone for serious photography.
And by serious photography, you mean anything you would want to print?
Anything you'd want to print.
Or
anything.
The best camera is the one you have on you. And I have some incredible large-scale iPhone prints that I got from Kinko's. You know, that were just...
I think that's fine.
And I mean, if you see these things and I say they're shot on an iPhone 4, you say, what? Telling you, it's possible.
I think it's possible.
You got the right light.
Yes, light matters. Daytime shots.
Yes, help.
Not a lot of motion.
The power of the sun helps tremendously.
The power of the sun. I would suggest asking. Look around on the internet for some example iPhone 5, 5S shots and print them out. See how they look. How about that?
You can go to Flickr. Go to Flickr.
Yep.
You can search by the camera that you want to see, the phone that you want to see.
You can.
Yeah.
Oh,
you used to be able to. They changed Flickr a few weeks ago. You might not be able to anymore.
It's got to be a meta tag, I would think.
But yeah, you used to be able to search by camera type. And yeah, there you go. Let's play. I guess that'll do it for us this week. If you have a question, podcast@tested.com is the email address. We'll be back next Thursday with another episode. Probably next Tuesday with another episode of Still Untitled too. As always, thanks for coming by, Jeremy. How's you still on track for Game Frame production? Everything looking good so far?
Everything's looking good. Thank you, Will.
I just wanted to give people a chance to get an update. We get a lot of questions about you.
Oh my gosh. It's just I did some things right. And okay. I didn't anticipate how long it would take to solder all these little tiny wires onto all those little circuit boards, but I had originally planned to make the wires too, and that would have incorporated, you know, stripping both ends and crimping on connectors.
Do you have a stripping tool?
I do.
Okay.
But it turned out I could have enough of these wires made, like 3,000 wires from the good people of China, for about the same price as the cost of materials.
Oh.
So done.
It's just the soldering.
So it's just the soldering, which alone is about as much time as I budgeted for soldering and wire manufacturing. So it's all, I'd say I'm on schedule by the skin of my chin.
Can you, like,
what show are you watching?
Oh, yeah. What's your distraction?
I finished off the
True Detective.
True Detective, thank
SD
you.
Cards.
That's great, right?
Cards.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah.
And then you suggested I move on to
House of Cards.
And so I did. And now it's just, when I watch these things in marathon style, I sort of exist in the show's world even when it ends.
Yeah.
You know,
well, that's bad after True Detective. Marty and Cole, you go upstairs and you start screaming at your wife, and it's not where you want to be.
Oh, God. Is that what happened to you?
No. No, but we did play. We reenact stories from TV shows with stuffed animals with the baby sometimes.
Oh, that's therapeutic.
So we did Marty and Cole one day, but that went kind of sour quickly, so we stopped.
I'm getting my way through House of Cards.
What do you find more tedious, the SD card formatting?
No,
or the soldering.
I kind of enjoyed the SD card formatting because it was much less. It required less mind power.
Did you get a card burner, or were you doing it? You talked about this.
I made a card burner. I took a USB, a 7-port USB hub, and I bought 7 USB to micro SD converters.
And then you wrote a script.
I wrote a script that would create new tasks.
Your children have nimble fingers.
7 parallel. This is true. It's true, but I can't trust. Can't trust this product to my children. Mm. Not this stage.
Quality assurance.
Yep.
Quality control for your valued Kickstarter backers.
Norman Chan.
The question.
Anything you want? We're in the plugging section of the show.
I got nothing to plug.
Zoidberg Project is on the site right now. You should. I'm going to go ahead and tell you. I want you to, in your head, listen to what I'm saying. In your head, imagine what Zoidberg would look like if he were three-dimensional.
Dr. Zoidberg from Futurama.
Dr. Zoidberg from Futurama. And then, like, get that picture real solid in your head. Think about the sandal shoes and the clacky claws and the white jacket and the blue dicky. And, you know,
well,
then...
I think in the cartoon, he wasn't wearing a dicky. He was actually wearing...
You know what? I think you're wrong. I like to think the Zoidberg would wear a dicky. There are only a few characters in all of fiction that are dicky wearers. Cousin Eddie from Vacation. Zoidberg. That's what
the
I
count.
Got. Yeah, Count Chocula.
The Count.
Or the Count from Sesame Street.
Sesame Street.
One.
Yeah, I bet that's not a real Count tuxedo.
It's probably a dicky. You're right.
Yeah.
And I think that Zoidberg is a dicky wearer.
Do you know what the origin of Futurama, the name is?
Well, is it a throwback to 60s everything being something Arama?
Futurama was the name of the 1939 World's Fair exhibit commissioned by General Motors.
Really?
One of the most celebrated World's Fair, New York World's Fair, we're talking about exhibits ever created.
This is the one that was in Queens, at the Men in Black site.
Yes.
Okay.
I believe so. At a cost of, I believe, $8 million, $7 to $8 million.
That was a shitload of money in 1930.
Back then, they're talking about tens of millions of dollars for an exhibit. The exhibit was a scale miniature of what a city would look like in 1960.
Did they get it right?
Years
Did they
the
nail
future.
It?
No.
Oh.
But we're talking about miniature city the size of, I want to say...
It was a huge
court,
model, right? Yeah.
Jake is a basketball court, and people, several hundred people, could sit around it, and there would be lights, synchronized lights and sounds, and they would tell you about the city of the future.
They had like binoculars so you could zoom in and look at it and stuff?
I think there was some motorized aspect to it.
That would be awesome.
But you, the future as imagined by 1939 had sky, freeways, automated
tubes.
Farms,
people moving tubes.
Seven, I don't know if there were people moving tubes. Seven lane freeways. It was, this is pre-war.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't 1939 wasn't pre-war everyone. Right. It was just for us.
Yeah, for us. We were still optimistic.
Europe was still in shambles. You should go look at the Zoidberg Project video because I'm bummed I didn't get to go to WonderCon to see it because it is fucking
Zoidberg
awesome.
May make an appearance at Comic-Con.
Zoidberg will rise again. You can't keep a Zoidberg down. Frank did a wonderful job on that and his associates. So thanks to all of them. And that'll do it for us this week. Today's outro is brought to you by Ad Hoc. I'm going to play it and then Norm and I are going to talk about 24 for a bit, I think, if you want to, Norm.
Hi there, I didn't see you.
That's it.
Yeah, you have like a 3-inch something, right? It's a big
8-inch.
8-inch. That is a lot of...
That's it.
That was Dave Snyder's fault. That wasn't me. 24 returned. It's back. We talked about 24 on this podcast, or maybe our last podcast, a lot.
Wow. It's everything I wanted from a 24.
Meaning?
The 24 show coming back.
What did you want from a 24 show? Intrigue?
At the time of this podcast recording, only 2 of the 12 promised hours of 24.
That's true.
Have aired on Fox. 24 was a cultural phenomenon, which debuted in 2001, I believe. It's been 4 years since it's been off the air.
Did it start post 9/11?
It started before 9/11.
Wow.
Yes. Just a few months before 9/11. So it was right on the cusp of the counterterrorism.
Wow.
Fear and terrorism fear.
Perfectly poised.
And the show is terrible. As a whole, 24 as a whole, it went on for too long.
There were two seasons that were pretty good.
It got really derivative.
Super dumb. Unbelievable.
The characters are just derivatives of each other, but I love it anyway. 24 turns me into Cartman from South Park.
A neocon?
Where Jack Bauer is my Mel Gibson.
Wow.
Where he is... It's ridiculous. And the first two episodes had everything you needed from 24. You had Jack Bauer...
doing something he wasn't supposed to do.
Being tortured.
Yep.
Killing some people.
I don't think he killed those people. I think he just maimed them.
There was some killing.
I guess so.
Raiding fighting some gangs. There's hacking. He said, damn it.
They didn't open any ports.
He got surveillance help.
That's true.
Yeah.
He went against, he did something that he needed to do without telling the other people the whole story. He's a good character. You know what he didn't do though, was the quiet question and then the loud question.
He did. He repeated.
Really?
He did repeat.
Oh, I missed that.
Yes.
My favorite part.
You guys like the visual window panes style of the show?
Yes.
The reason to watch the show is that it is an achievement in logistics and writing.
It's a puzzle. It is amazing how the puzzle. I watch Survivor because I like the puzzles. I like the challenges that they assemble. I think that that is a super fascinating job and is really interesting and is typically on that show. They seem to have budget and actually do. Those challenges are set up not to be difficult for the people, but so that they control who has a better chance of winning, right? If you look at Survivor, any of Amazing Race, any of that stuff, the parameters of those challenges are typically not determined very far in advance. So they can tweak things like the width of a board so that the person who has shitty balance has an easier time or a harder time, and then they make the ball throwing part more important for the actual flow of the challenge. And by tweaking all that stuff up to, I would assume, a day or two before, they can maybe not determine the outcome, but make the outcome that the producers want easier to accomplish. 24 does the same thing with a scripted show, which is fucking awesome. And that means they have to do it really far in advance. They're constantly playing with, it is super formulaic. Like Norm said, it's really formulaic. The characters are super, super heavy-handed. by all rights, it should be terrible. But because it's this constant on the edge of disaster, you know, everything's, I mean, from a production standpoint, like they're getting everything to fit, the pieces to fit as a coherent show is amazing. The fact that it works, it's really good. And Kiefer Sutherland's pretty good too.
I liked him in Lost Boys.
I liked him in Dark City.
What about Young Guns?
He was in. That was him.
Yeah, he was in Dark City, dude.
Forgot about that.
It was great. Young Guns.
Yep.
Go watch Young Guns. That'll do it for us this week. We will see you all next week. Bye.